You're joking, right?
Well, I'm trying to be hopeful. I'm trying to be optimistic about that.
Well, I guess you're too young to be a little pessimistic like me. The fucking things I see out there, people are stupid.
Hello, Bronny.
Just got our coughs out. That was
Hi, Bronny, bro.
Hi.
Hi,
you know, that's called like hitting the... Oh, shit. It's called hitting the something. Like on radio, they don't really do it anymore.
Hitting the mark?
No, no. Like, you know, on radio where they'll play a song and the first like 20 seconds of the song is instrumental. And they'll be like, and so you can get your tickets to see Justin Bieber Friday at 7 p.m. And like right when they finish, the song comes in. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Hitting the...
You told me that once before what it's called.
Fuck, so, I don't remember.
Why are you thinking about
hitting
that?
Hitting the whoa.
While you're thinking about that and getting back to me Monday morning, I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving.
Yes. Right?
Did you enjoy your Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
What'd you like about it? It was a nice night, though. It really was.
You gotta talk to the mic a little.
Closer?
Yeah.
Closer?
You just gotta talk into it.
Hello. It was a nice night. We had 30 people.
Yeah, it was good.
Tiring. Everybody was cooking and getting ready, but it was, I think it turned out to be a nice night.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're still feeling the effects of it. It was a lot of work.
Well, right? It's like we're getting older that
we can't handle the time.
But that's what I'm saying. Like we can't
Mom's
handle Thanksgiving.
Hurts.
It's like Thanksgiving is nice. It's definitely better when you're a kid.
Really?
And then I guess it gets better when you have kids.
Really nice.
I thought it was nice too. But it's just like when you're a kid, you're like, oh, this is so special. And then when you're my age, you're like, okay, another year. Doing it again.
I think it was nice. Good family.
No,
memory.
But I'm not saying it wasn't nice.
I understand.
Yeah. Okay.
No problem, buddy. It's all good. I think everybody had a really nice time. It was good food, good memories. Bryce killed it with the cooking. But it's a lot. It's a lot. It's a nice having a
I got to adjust this. Because it's below you, you're speaking like, see, hear the difference between that and that. It's just because it's below. You got to like talking about it like that.
Better?
Yeah, I guess.
Better?
We'll figure it out.
I feel like...
Episode 160, we're still figuring out our microphones.
That fucking dick right in my face.
You know what that's like?
I hate when that happens.
You know what that's like?
Ba-dum-ba.
Oh, awkward.
No, not awkward for me. I don't give a shit.
Are you Jewish?
You're a funny guy.
That, for those listening, he's wearing an Israel flag and a Jewish star. I guess you don't have to be Jewish to wear it to support
an Israel
flag.
I'm wearing a t-shirt as an Israeli flag. You said I'm wearing an Israeli flag.
Yeah, I guess you're not wearing it over your...
And then I have my Jewish star that I wear with pride and conviction. And we were at the mall shopping today, which was painful. And I got a lot of compliments on the shirt. This is the...
Yeah, but we're also in Boca.
Doesn't matter. I'd wear it anywhere.
No, of course. I'm just saying like we have a bad sample size of like who's going to support that shirt. Oh, and he broke the mic.
I did not break the fucking mic. You should have this shit all resolved before we start.
I don't know how you're going to be talking into it. You're also talking so quietly. You're like being so calm.
I'm relaxed. Isn't that a good thing?
Yeah. Oh, God. The mic's just completely broken.
All right. Don't worry. It's not broken. It's all good. You want me to talk like this?
Yeah.
You got it, Bronny. What do you want to talk about? What's the topics for today after
Thanksgiving? You got to get the mic working first.
It's your fucking job to get the mic fixed. 1 minute. Okay. We'll get it working. Keep talking. Okay, we'll figure it out. Keep talking, Ronnie.
I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. That's the right one this time.
All right, we'll leave it like that.
Yeah, it's not ideal, but it's okay. Fine.
Can you hear me, people? If you can't hear me, raise your hand.
No, but do you see how I'm talking into it and you're talking over it? You see?
Because I'm above everything. I always talk over people.
Okay.
All right.
It's fine, whatever. No. Oh, my God.
1 minute. Keep talking, Brian. Nobody wants to hear this. Go ahead. Perfect. Perfect. Okay. Everybody go.
Oh, my God. look.
No, Brian. Wow. All right. So we're back, everybody.
Yeah. See, but now you sound good.
So
don't touch it. I fixed it. It's fine.
But I like playing with it.
You like playing with
Go ahead, Brian.
Dicks.
All right. So, God. All right. So what's going on with you?
Not much. Just final season.
People want to know what's going on with the life of Bronson Moose. So
it's not interesting right now.
Your girlfriend's out of town.
Yeah, for Thanksgiving. Forgot what it was called for a second.
She comes back in a couple of days.
Yep.
You excited? You miss her?
Yep.
Okay, gotcha. Well, we've had the pleasure of having you here for all our boys home, which is nice. A lot of fucking water bottles you guys are drinking.
I don't really drink water bottles.
A lot of garbage.
Well, there's
I know.
The house is more than doubled.
Yeah.
Usually it's just two of you.
And it gets messy quickly.
Yeah.
But it's all
right, fine. We'll leave.
No, just you. No, I'm teasing.
I'm the easiest one out of all of them by far.
Actually, we love having you guys here. It's just great.
It sounds like it.
Wow.
Because you were the one saying too much garbage.
A lot of garbage, though. It's crazy.
We create a lot. When it's just you and mom, you don't really like do as much. When it's me, Bryce, and Burke, it's
unbelievable. I'm constantly throwing the garbage out. It's the amount of bags is crazy.
Also, no one else throws it out, too. I have that problem with Bryce. He'll just pile things on at home.
So you don't do it. You do it at home, but you don't do it here.
I rarely throw the garbage out here, but I also rarely am piling on. Because you throw it, even when it gets halfway, that'll be like, it's too full.
I don't like it.
Like when dad's phone gets to 92% battery, he's like, oh my God, I need to charge.
Absolutely.
And I'll be on 28 and I'll be charging and he'll take my phone off the charger and put his phone on because he's like, I'm too low.
Whose charger is it?
The communal.
No. Who pays for the phone bill? All right. Therefore, I get energy first. It's all good. All right. So what's going on, Ronnie Boo?
Just been studying for finals, which is fine.
Yep.
Get it?
Okay. What's going on otherwise?
I did want to bring up something that happened. So I forgot to tell you on last week's episode. Did it happen between? Yeah, it happened between episodes. So I took the first part to my final last week. And the professor gave us like a practice problem, you know, like he gave us last year's exam. And so,
okay.
That's what he gave us like last year's exam. And so we could see, okay, what is
how
this
you
like?
Would do. Right.
And it just like gives you like, oh, this is what I can expect from this year.
Understood.
So that exam, it's like, you know, 2 pages of
what was
facts.
The course?
It's like my statutory interpretation. Okay. So it's like 2 pages of like facts and like a story. And then also like the statutes on something. And then that last year's was one question. Okay. We get into the exam and we have 2 hours
just
to do this.
Practice one.
No, it was part one of the exam. We get into the exam and there's 3 questions, not one. Okay. I see that and I'm like, oh shit, I'm not going to have a lot of time. I'm going to have to, you know, turn my speed up by 10%. Like, and I barely finished and I'm always good with finishing, but it was a lot of work, but that's also what law school exams are.
Yep.
It's a lot of work. You're always on time pressure. When it ended, I know I never finish. Every single exam I take, I always finish well before the time ends. I have time to go through. I'm never on a time pressure. And I felt pressure on time with this one. So I looked around and I was like, I bet 90% of these people didn't even finish. So after the exam that I talked to a few people, they were like, yeah, I didn't finish at all. I got like halfway through.
That's
I didn't
terrible.
Even answer the last question.
Okay, then you're fucked.
Yeah.
If you didn't answer the last question, you're starting off at a minimum. The grades you're going to ever get is a 70.
Right.
So you're fucked.
But it is a curve.
Doesn't matter.
But anyways, so I was like, damn, yeah, that sucks. And it was a lot of work. But yeah, it was an exam. So then the next day, so that was on Friday. Then on Monday, we had that class. And the professor starts talking about what he thought we should have answered. He was like, the issues that I saw and I wanted to talk. And then we were like talking them out. All of a sudden, all these kids start like.
Crying?
Like accusing him of making it too hard. And literally people were like, I've never experienced
it. I want to hear this. This is interesting.
I've never experienced anything like it. And it was very interesting because you could see there was a clear difference between the 21 through 23 year old students and the 25 through 30 year old students. Like the people my age, we were all making eye contact with each other throughout the,
like,
and
we're
being
like
what
the
fuck is going on? Because people were literally like, we were like raising their hand. Like we were only expecting one question and you gave us 3. That's not fair. And he,
are you
like,
kidding
people
me?
People were asking,
wait, are you kidding me?
It was insane.
But the one question, just to give you an idea what to expect on the kind of exam.
Right. It's not, he's not saying this is
no,
the
it's
exam.
Just, right. It's just saying this is what you can expect the kind of exam to be. So if it's 1 or 7 questions, at least you get an idea of what the questions are going to be and what he expects how to answer.
Right. Of course.
And I'm sure the 3 questions, each one was not the same detail as the one big one for the last year's exam.
Right. Exactly. And so he said, a lot of people were asking questions like that. And he was like, guys, I did that to help you. Because if I give you one big question, if you go down the wrong path,
you're done.
You're fucked.
Right.
But if I give you 3 smaller
questions,
you have
a chance of doing better. Right.
And so that's the answer he gave.
Oh my God.
But people were like, people were raising their hand like,
Judge, you're not being fair.
I know, right? Like people, one guy raised his hand and goes, But Professor Blatt, what was the point of making it so long? What was the point of making it?
Never had these conversations about professors.
He goes, what was the point? And I wanted to turn around and be like, to challenge you. It was a fucking exam to challenge your knowledge.
Right, to work on time management, skills, reading comprehension, being efficient, as many
it's
things.
Insane. And people were like, but you gave us last year's exam and it was only one question. So we were under the assumption that this would only be one question. And so we just didn't have enough time.
But that one question probably had as many issues and it's the same amount of time.
But it's also like, it is what it is. I'm not taking last year's exam and being like, okay, this is exactly what the exam's going to be.
Oh my God.
And for 35 minutes, they're grilling this professor.
And he had to defend his position.
He
I would be like, this is the way it is. Not even open for discussion.
He kind of just kept saying, like, guys, I don't know what to tell you. Like, this was the exam. And I also felt like saying too, to all these people, like, what's the point of doing, like, we already took the exam. Why do this? And then people started being like, okay, so for part two, should I not?
Three questions?
Like, should I not expect what you gave us on the thing? What
they should expect nothing.
They were like, what should we expect? And he's like, I can't tell you.
Right.
And I wanted to turn around and be like, oh, Professor Blatt, can you just give us the next part of the exam? Like, these questions are being written.
This is the problem. But these are the same people that were spoon-fed, that were the dumbed-down theory. The parents are there to make the phone call why the kid didn't do well. This is that whole same mentality. So this is what you expect.
It was insane. And they were there with anger, and they were there like, we are justified in asking these questions. He's in the wrong for giving us a... This is the energy that they were bringing. Like, he's in the wrong for giving us an exam that was harder than we thought it was going to be.
If you riot and get enough people behind you, you can get things changed.
It was, it was crazy.
Yeah, I would say so.
I called a few of them out after. Like, as we were, after that class, I was like, I can't, like, why were you asking those questions?
It's
like,
an
I
exam.
Can't even imagine. Yeah, like, the whole point of a law, like, are you expecting a law school exam to be easy, plenty of time, and not challenging? I don't understand what they were expecting.
He could have even fucked with you and kept the material the same and did a completely different format thing than what he gave you from last year.
Of course.
Because that's what shit. Let me tell you. You think doctors, when they go in, like, if they nick an artery while doing surgery, they better fucking be real fucking quick to think on their fucking feet.
The fact that he even gave us last year's exam is so nice.
So nice. Or what about you're in law, you're in trial, and someone brings a witness in, you're like, you never told me that wasn't a witness list.
Yeah.
Or you get a piece of evidence. I'll give an example. Maybe about 10 years ago, I have this trial and this fucking low-life client. Such a low-life client that his wife got arrested. He didn't know his wife got picked up for a writ of bodily attachment, a failure to attend a deposition that he never told his wife that she was. Took the papers. So his wife never knew. So when she gets arrested because never complying with a court order, and it's got to take two or three times to get you. First you do a deposition notice, then you do if they don't show up, motion to compel, then you do an order to show cause. And if they fail to comply with the judge's orders to show good cause, why didn't show up for deposition? Remember, after two motions, then the judge issues what's called a writ of bodily attachment of the sheriff come and arrest you. So it's months. So this guy hid it from his wife. So this guy's my client. We go to trial, and this guy tells me he never got arrested. It's a civil case. So I believe him, whatever, because I'm not going to do background on my client. My client wants to fucking lie. Let him lie. The first question, the other side goes, so, Mr. So-and-so, tell me about your felony conviction. I'm like,
oh, God.
What the fuck? Like, you got to be able to think on your feet.
Right.
When they throw you a fucking curveball or so-and-so makes an objection, the opposing counsel makes an objection, and the judge sustains the objection, or you got to oppose it why something's not admissible.
I feel like that's half of the job. Hearsay,
except
is you, being quick being to quick, problem solve.
That's why I'm good at what I do, because I'm very quick on
and
it,
And this
right?
exam, like, so it's like for the statutory-
But to spoon feed these people and not treat them, sorry, to not teach them to be quick on the feet is a disservice.
No, well, that's what the exam was. It was slight curveball. That part of like the way that we've been taught to interpret statutes in this text, like the professor's like, this is how I want you to analyze, like instead of like a case brief, it's like analyze it, like look at the text, then the legislative intent, then the purpose of the statute, and then like choose a best answer based on that. So like every time you'd gone through a case, we do that text, intent, purpose, best answer. So there were three times that we needed to do that on the test. And I looked at the questions and I just knew we would not have enough time to do 12 analysis paragraphs, right? One, th- three for text, three for intent for each question. I just knew we weren't going to be able to do that much. So I saw that and I was like, I'm going to need to kick this up into gear. And I did things quickly. I focused more on the main point issues, didn't focus on, you know, other ones. And then people in class were like, but professor, you taught us to do text, intent, purpose, best answer. And so my plan in doing this exam was to do that for each of the questions. And there just wasn't enough time to do that. And he was like, look, guys, you don't have to do like a full analysis for each thing. Find the main issues
right. And
then do that. You know, you're under a time pressure. So you have to pick and choose where is your time best spent? And I was like, yes, that's test taking 101. These kids didn't know that.
But also reality, listen.
And then they blamed him being us this.
Yeah, the inmates when he saw him. You can't, when you raise an objection to the judge is not going to want to hear a 20-minute dissertation as to why. You got to hit the one or two top fucking reasons why, and hopefully judge sides by you.
So there were certain times where like I knew, okay, the purpose isn't that important to this issue. So I'm just going to say the purpose is this and then move on. Where there were other ones where like the purpose is important, so I'm going to do the purpose is this because blah, 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 blah.
What you're trying to argue.
Right, exactly. But all these kids, they're just like, oh, it text and tap purpose, best answer. I'm just going to do that and go formulaic.
Regurgitation.
Right. And then they were like, there's not enough time.
Even the judge, when you got to reply to, when you're in all argument, you give your position and then your opposition goes, and then you have an opt-in reply. The judge gives you 1 or 2 minutes. You might want to talk for 30 minutes. Judge might give you 2 minutes. Judge might even cut you off and say, no, you're not replying.
It was just shocking, the entitlement from these kids.
It doesn't surprise me.
And it was all the young kids. And then the older ones, we were all looking around like, whoa. And we were looking around like, not even if some of them, like I was talking to, they were like, they felt that way. They were like, oh, it wasn't enough time. I was pressured for time. And I was a little like,
that's
misled.
Okay. That's valid.
They were like, I was a little misled because I thought I was going to get one question, but I never would have brought that up to the professor.
Okay,
that's what
they
said.
But the one question, Bronson, could have had the same amount of issue materials as a three
did. And I'm sure it did. And he even said, I wanted to break it up to help you.
You can have one essay that can have constitutional law, real estate, and criminal in that one essay, as opposed to having three separate fucking essays.
Right, right. No, I know. Yeah, people it was just shocking. And I wanted to bring it up because it was like something that we talked about, how like, you know, the coddling of the American mind type thing, where like young kids now are
disservice.
Just, because they probably learned throughout being a kid, like, that they have the power over teachers, because the teachers and the administrations of all schools have always bowed down to the kids since like 2015.
Yep.
So now these kids, like, I would never think, even if I thought a professor was being extremely unfair or too hard, I would never be like, call them out. You're wrong.
Isn't that shocking?
They're the professor. That's what
shocking?
It is. Especially
what about
in
your
law
employer?
School.
Imagine your employer. This is what they do with your fucking
employer. That's what they do. Kids that's nowadays do that.
Correct. And the employer gets fucked.
And the employer bows down to them.
Yep. Not me.
No, well,
not
doing
it.
But like the big corporations, they bow down because it's just easier for them.
It's
I guess
how to be less white.
Yeah.
Hey, what about
that? Crazy,
Bron. Let's talk about obesity for a moment. I know we always do.
Pivot.
Let's talk about obesity, like what we saw at lunch and what we saw walking in the mall. And this, night. I mean, come on, Bron. Do people not have any shame? I mean, where's the shame? Seriously.
Yeah, but people were like, there were two specific people that we saw today.
You were even
separate
shocked.
Times that were like,
What about the girl walking down at Wayne Manor right?
They were very large, very not attractive, and
dirty looking though,
and wearing like less clothes than the Victoria's Secret fashion show.
Less than right, but and we have to look at it. That girl walking down the street in a bikini. Come on, how do you describe it? I don't even know if I can even describe. Without throwing up in my mouth.
She was quite ugly. Yeah,
no, but obese and in a bikini.
Yeah, and like
and strut in public
and like unkempt, like she wasn't like put together. Because you can be overweight,
you can look clean.
You can overweight. Be overweight and still clean. Be like put together.
Oh my God, these people. Ronnie, it's gross. It's gross.
Yeah.
And it's got to be.
It's the sad thing, too, is it's kind of just the majority of the country. Most people in the country are.
Health wise, how do they even walk? They got to be exhausted.
How do they even. Like, when I eat poorly for 2 or 3 days,
feel like shit.
I feel like shit.
Even one day.
Not even physically, mentally, I feel like shit. No,
and
I'm like, I regret that.
I'm out of shape because we're somewhat in shape and we know how hard it is. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Ugh. Gross. All right. What do you got there, Brian?
We can talk about, we talked like 2-3 weeks ago, maybe like longer, 2-3-4 episodes ago, whatever, about how Europe, where like Europe is going to be like revolting and people are going to start kicking out all their people, all the immigrants from their countries and all that stuff. Yeah. We called it.
Yes, and we talked about changing the culture, how bad that is, right? You said, like, if you bring people in, like, you go to Italy, certain northern Italy,
right, exactly,
for a certain culture, but if you bring in all these immigrants in, that it's a different culture, it changes the whole thing.
Yeah, and, like, we've been this weekend in Ireland, so we can talk about that, because this weekend, when I posted that TikTok clip, like, 3-4 weeks ago.
I don't remember which one.
It was just us saying, just what we just
said.
I mean, I can't even play it for you, but we were just like, Europe, I said, you're going to see, there's going to be a wave of, like, native Europeans, right? Like Italians in Italy, French in France.
Which I'm all in favor of, by the way.
Yeah. And I was like, there's going to be a wave of them who are going to start overthrowing immigrants.
Listen, we don't want, go to the Amalfi Coast in Italy. You don't want, or Tuscany. You don't want it to be a bunch of New Yorkers moving there.
Not at all. It ruins it. I would be upset.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I would be upset not only as an Italian, but as an American. I'd be like, what are you guys doing?
If I want New York, I go to New York. I want Northern Italy, I go to Northern Italy.
Right.
I don't need it all to be fucking unified where everything, that's not what I want.
Yeah.
Again, back to the culture thing. You can go visit places, which makes it great and unique, which makes you, when you come home, you like that you visit all these different areas, but I don't want to be, I want fucking Northern Italy to be like we went to that house in the Tuscany area.
Yeah, even like within America, we were in Mississippi last week and we were like, it's so different here.
That's
what makes it fun.
Love it. If that was fucking like the Bronx, I'd be pissed.
Or if it was just like here back home, or even like being home, Palm Beach versus Miami are so different. Huge and I
difference.
Love that it's
huge
different. Because you can feel different vibes, different
and we energies. Like different, and we like visiting.
Yeah, different cultures.
I agree. I don't get it, but go ahead. Tell me about Ireland.
We posted that clip of us talking about that like 3-4 weeks ago, and got like 25,000-30,000 views, which is fine. Over the weekend, it's up to like 500,000 views now. It gained like 500,000 views within the last 48 hours.
Why?
Because of Ireland, 100%. Because we called it a month ago. I said, you're going to start to see within the next month or so, that's how the TikTok starts, European countries starting to have waves of anti-immigration protests. And then this weekend in Ireland, that
they let them all in,
happened.
The fucking retards.
That exactly happened.
Tell me what happened with Ireland.
So I think it was like on Thursday or Friday, my knee, yeah. On like Thursday or Friday, there were reports, it kind of, at least from the American side, it was like all of a sudden there were riots in Dublin. We were like, what's going on? And then when
and the Ireland, they're like the Bostonians, they take care of their own.
Oh yeah,
and
they know how to riot.
They're fucking, they're scrappy, right?
The whole generation since the '80s, they've all like the IRA and all that shit. Like they are crazy when it comes to like rioting and domestic terrorism, quote unquote, if you will. But anyways, what happened was there was a reporting of like two children being stabbed, and then these riots were because of that. And then, so that was kind of just the story.
Who stabbed
who? Right. So the story that was being reported was just that two children were stabbed, and now there are far right extremists rioting in the streets. So then when you look, you saw these riots and you were like, whoa, this, like they made BLM look like nothing. Like they were lighting full buildings on fire, not just a car. And so I was scrolling through TikTok or Twitter, looking at it and being like, I don't know what the full story is here, because you look at the riots and it's all Irish people rioting, like white Irish people. And they were lighting hotels on fire.
Jesus.
And so you're like, what's going on? And it turns out this has not been reported in any of the news.
Haven't heard any of it.
And what it was is it was an Algerian immigrant from Algeria, which is in Africa, which I said, remember, I was like, France has a Morocco and Algeria problem because they're right there in North Africa. And so I guess Algerian people go to Ireland too. I don't know. But it was an Algerian immigrant who stabbed these two Irish children. And so the local Irish people, like ethnic people, right? Like white Irish people took to the streets and were like, we can't stand, we don't want these immigrants in our country. Like they're not Irish. They're causing harm and violence to Irish people.
But I get it. I know it sounds terrible to say, but I get it.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for cutting you off, but go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go.
Same, but like Boca has a certain style to it. I don't want an influx of, let's say, Staten Island people. I know, you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
right, but
don't you get
so
it?
So going, yes, but
Don't go back to this. We were all immigrants that came in and whatever.
No. Yeah. I wasn't going to go to that. I was just going to say, like, but it's not like, it's not yours. Like, who are you to say that no one else can come to this area?
They can. Of course they can.
Right.
I'm saying, but I wouldn't want it. Like,
no, I know, but are you going to then take to this? Like, are you going to kick them out with pitchforks?
No, because that's not who I am.
But that's what they're doing. And
I get it. I get it. But
I see both sides. Catch
22, because let's relate it to me. If I move to Boca, and I like what it has. Like we said, oh, great. Everyone, you know, we live by my shirt. Everyone's right. Like, it's a bunch of Jews here. But if it became a very different culture.
Right. That's the difference, okay, I guess. If you move to Boca.
I think I would move.
If you move to Boca.
Because I wouldn't riot.
If Boca had what it is right now, like Boca has a very, or let's just take Miami because more people know of Miami. Miami has a very specific culture. Everyone knows of like the Miami vibe and culture. If you move to Miami being like, I want to live in Miami, but I don't like the Miami culture. I want to make it different. Then I think more local Miamians are like, justified in being like,
fuck
no,
you.
No.
This is Miami.
But if you want to move to Miami to be like, I want to embrace Miami culture, then if anyone kicks you out with a pitchfork just because you're not from there originally, then I think it's wrong. You see the difference?
Yes, but
I think if you're going into a culture to say, I'm coming to take the benefits of this, but I'm going to change it to the way I want.
We bought a place in Miami because we like the different with the culture.
And so, like, if you wanted to move to Ireland, I mean, that's the whole point of America, right? Like, Irish people were able to move to America and to say, I want to become American. They didn't say, I want to make this like Dublin. Not at all. They were like, no, we're leaving that life behind. But the modern wave of immigrants isn't doing that.
No.
The African and the Muslim immigrants. They're
Gee, how surprising.
They're moving to a culture and saying, we want all the benefits of this culture, but we're going to make it our own.
But I got to tell you, I'm actually, I know it sounds terrible, but I'm so glad there's a pushback now because it's been so shoved in our face with everything and so liberal and so open that I think that Europe gave these kind of people the benefit and said, yes, we'll welcome you.
Right.
But just don't fuck it up. So we're saying we welcome you. Like, it's like this. If I had a guest on my house, like, my door's always open to a guest. But you don't follow my rules, get the fuck out of my house.
And for a month, it might be great. And then they overstay their welcome. And then you're like, fuck, you got to go now.
Or they say, no, I'm not. I'm going to wear my shoes in the movie theater.
And then you say, okay, I'm kicking you out.
Like,
I'm going to wear my shoes at the movie theater.
Because a buddy of mine said, I go, you got to take the shoes. And it's a good friend of mine. I go, you got to take the shoes off before you go in the theater. And he goes, there's a lot of rules in your house. So I said, you don't like it, get the fuck out. And I said, just like that. Because
that's like the cliche is when you're in my house, you follow my rules.
That's my point. That's what I'm saying. So if you're in my country, follow my country's rules.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So I'm happy this pushback.
We called it like a year ago.
Yep.
We were like, the pendulum's going to start to swing.
Yep.
And then also, so we still got to continue with Ireland, but also like, we were talking about how in the Netherlands, they just elected a new leading party for their parliament.
What comprises the Netherlands? Is it Denmark? What is it?
No, Denmark's another country, but Amsterdam is in the Netherlands.
Gotcha.
So you've been to the Netherlands. You like that country.
I love Amsterdam.
Yeah.
There are very few places I like to go back twice. I've been there twice. I go back a third time.
Yeah.
I like
So Amsterdam, like, they're... So Danish people are from Denmark, and people from the Netherlands are called Dutch people. No, Dutch people are from Denmark, and Danish are from the Netherlands. So I think that's what it is. So those people are like very ethnic one way, right? They're all like ethnically Danish, and
jelly donuts.
And people like they've had a big problem with migrants too, and so they just elected a new party to run their parliament. So basically, like, how we have the Democrats in charge. They're the new party in charge for their country are like running on an anti-immigration platform, and they won. And they basically were like, we're outlawing hijabs in our government, so you can't wear that.
What's a hijab?
What Muslim women wear on their head. And then there were a few other things but they were like, that's a huge turn.
Because the Muslim protest and the Muslim behavior is not going to work in their favor. In this regard, people don't want it. People,
and that's what we're seeing.
Right, look what they just showed in New York on Black Friday, how the Muslims, they've been marching everywhere and affecting stores.
Yes.
And people don't want that.
It's not even Muslims doing it. It's like white liberals
That
are being like pro-Palestine. It's bizarre.
Correct. It's not even Muslims. Exactly right.
It's like everyone else. Yeah, it's bizarre.
Fucking idiots.
But Amsterdam, or not Amsterdam, the Netherlands is an extremely liberal country. They have like socialized medicine, healthcare. They have criminalized all drugs. You know, like Amsterdam, you can get any drug you want. So they're extremely liberal, but now their government is like, nope. Taking a very conservative stance on immigration.
Because if they don't do it, it's being...
Because they're losing their heritage.
It's being pushed so hard,
yeah.
Okay, by the strength in numbers and what's going on with the social media and the protesting, whatever. If they don't combat it just as hard, it's going to be a fucking problem.
Yeah.
I just hope they stay behind it.
Sure they will. So in Ireland, why they were lighting hotels on fire was because the local Irish people, they were lighting hotels where the migrants are being housed with government dollars. Oh, so remember like in New York, how they put up
The homeless
immigrants and homeless people in hotels on government dollars. And you're like, you're like, we have American homeless that aren't being put up, but these immigrants get hotel rooms in New York City, in Midtown New York City.
Right.
That's like insane. And it's our money that's being used. So they were doing the same thing in Ireland. And so the Irish people lit those hotels on fire, which is like insane. But that's when you're like, I wasn't saying that. I'm like, they're taking an extremely strong stance in Ireland.
You might need to. Wait,
yeah, no, listen, I'm not saying that it's BLM, unjustified.
BLM did it and destroyed our properties and like that, and everyone was okay with it. I mean, it's a fucking joke. I don't think any property should be destroyed, personally. That's my opinion. I think you can protest and you can get your point across. I don't think anybody should harm another person or fucking...
property.
Yeah, damage on anybody's property. That's just wrong. But I think it's the pendulum. You have no choice. Would you ever see me walk around with a shirt like this and the Jewish star? And just, I think you have to do it.
Yeah. So also in Ireland, like I said, they...
So the bars lost a lot of income.
What?
The bars, the pubs lost a lot of income.
Oh,
good.
I thought you were talking about our friends, the bars. I was like, what are you talking about? The media has not talked about how this is a...
Why do you think?
Well, there's only two reasons. One, because they think it'll make it worse if they're like, it's an Algerian. It might make the protest worse. Or two, they just want to... They don't like that narrative, so they're keeping it hush-hush. And so literally, the Washington Post... I just saw this tweet 10 minutes ago, before 30 minutes ago before we started this. This was tweeted today, and it's crazy. So... The tweet says, online rumors claimed the perpetrator of a stabbing attack in Ireland was an immigrant. The BBC found that the man was an Irish citizen who had lived in the country for 20 years. Okay, so already. But do...
I don't know if it's true or not.
No, but do you see what that is?
They're trying to put a different spin on it.
They're saying rumors say that he was an immigrant, but in fact, he was an Irish citizen who has lived in the country for 20 years. But if he lived in the country for 20 years, that means he came from elsewhere, meaning he's an immigrant.
Unless he's 20 years old.
No, he's not. He's 56 or something.
Gotcha, okay.
So everyone's retweeting, everyone's tweeting at that and saying, so an immigrant? Right? Like But they're trying to spin
the
it.
Twist.
Saying,
yeah, yeah. But they always do this shit.
Because they said, he's not an immigrant. He's an Irish citizen. And so when you read that, you think, oh, then he's probably a white guy. Right? When I read that to you, then you think, an Irish person.
Or he was 20.
Yeah, and it's like, he's not Irish. He's an Irish citizen. But he's not a white Irish person. He's an Algerian man. So they're saying, he's not an immigrant. He's lived in the country for 20 years. And it's like, yeah, but he's an immigrant still. He's not from Ireland.
Right.
He's not Irish.
Right.
It's so insane. And then the next sentence is, police are blaming the protests on a lunatic faction driven by a far-right ideology. So they're changing it. And then if you go to the article, the title of the article isn't... they're making me... The title of the article should be Algerian man stabs two Irish children.
But they'll never do that.
Riots ensue.
Yeah, never do that.
What it is far-right protesters burn and loot Dublin.
Correct.
Hold on, let me see if I can get the whole thing. In worst violence in decades. That's what they're... And they're making it far-right.
Yeah, but...
So they're like, it's insane how they're
George
spinning
Floyd?
It.
Isn't that the exact same thing?
The fact that they're saying... online rumors, conspiracy theories say that this man was an immigrant. In fact, he's lived in the country for 20 years. Yeah, so he came from somewhere else. But he's an immigrant.
And this is what people do, and then they don't delve deeper and they believe what they read just by the fucking headlines, which we've talked about for ages. And this is how fucking how toxicity gets spread.
Yeah.
It's falsity. Crazy. The bullshit.
Yeah.
No, it's fucked up.
And it's like, why are they, but why?
What's the purpose behind it?
Why is the Washington Post,
what do you think,
pushing that narrative? Who
is
the author?
Is the person American?
Of that article?
Yeah, maybe that's different.
They probably are American, but yeah, you know, Carla Adam, a white chick with blonde hair, is the person. I don't understand, why are they pushing that narrative? Because that's clearly a narrative. Spinning that to be like they're not an immigrant.
I think that, but every article they push is a narrative. It's gone so far, they don't even put the truth anymore.
But why that narrative? Like, why would Washington Post, it's just got to be like the media is all like,
in
just so entrenched. They've been so like on that narrative for so long that they can't turn. Or because it's like, because, I don't know. I genuinely don't know. But like the Washington Post is owned by Jeff Bezos. Like Jeff Bezos doesn't want like mass immigration in America. There's no way. I just don't understand. There's why they're all like colluding, because the media is all colluding on this like immigration stuff. Even, okay, here's another one. Mayor Adams.
Yes.
The last couple of weeks we've been saying,
yes,
how like he's like, we can't handle it anymore. He's like, the immigration is right, out,
he's
of,
he's got to shut down services, take 10% from the budget. From
and he's
somewhere.
Like, it's out of control. We cannot handle this. This
how
is
do
bad.
You not know that though. We know, I'm not even in politics. I don't watch the news that much. And from the little bit I see, even I knew it. How do you not know it?
Well, so what happened to Mayor? So 2 days ago,
he had a nice suit on though.
Two days ago, all the news were running the story. Mayor Adams accused of sexual assault from 20 years ago.
Oh,
they're coming for him. They're coming for him.
This because he
said
it's enough.
He said this is. He said immigration's bad.
I hope he fucking stinks, grows a pair of balls.
They're so.
But why is that? What's going on?
But it's so
voters. Is it voters?
Blatant at this point.
Is it voters?
That's what it's got to be. Right?
Are they that fucking evil?
That's one of the explanations.
That's pure fucking evil, though.
But like, so all of a sudden, now that Mayor Adams, they loved him, right? For a long time.
Cuomo, they loved too.
Yeah, and then when they don't toe the party line right away, a sexual assault allegation. Why did it come up now? 1 week after he said we can't handle immigration, it's literally from 19 years ago. The girl said this happened 19 years ago.
Of course.
Why now?
Because it's
like,
but you know,
it's so obvious.
But it's bullshit.
Exactly. Yes. But it's so, and it's so blatant that no one even believes it anymore.
They'll do anything to ruin someone's lives.
Yeah, and it's like, so that's how you can, when you see those patterns, that's
like
when you know.
Supreme Court justice, they broached it from high school. I mean, get a fucking life.
But it's like the timing of this. It's just blatant. It's like, okay, there's clearly a narrative that the people in power want to keep. And he stepped out of the narrative. And so they were like, we got to take him down. He's not with us anymore. He's against us. And it's like, he just said, guys, we can't handle the immigration. And he's like, they're seeing it firsthand. But they want the immigration then. That's what they must want.
But can these people vote? I mean, is that corrupt? They fake the votes?
I don't know how. You have to be a citizen to vote.
I know, but do they fake them?
I don't know.
Ronnie, they could get dead people that are dead and just fucking steal their identity. Do this just to get the votes. I put nothing past this organization, these Democrats.
That's the only like logical explanation for why they would want mass immigration, right? I can, or just to like completely destabilize things. I don't know. Or because more numbers, right? Like all the immigrants are the ones that are getting like social services from the government. Maybe in order to keep up, like to request more money, they have to be giving it out, you know, like.
Makes no sense. Makes no sense because it's destroying our country, destroying literally firsthand. It's like letting COVID out again. It's destroying our country.
Worse.
I know. I'm just making, you know, my point. Like you just let it out there.
And it's happening.
It's such a virus.
All over Europe. And so we're seeing they're being like, nope, we don't want it. Last week or 2 weeks ago, we didn't talk about this. We didn't even talk about him when he was running, but I've been following his campaign for a while. In Argentina, so you know, Argentina since like the 80s has been in kind of like a downward economic spiral. And within the last 5 to 10 years, they've been on a similar trajectory here in America of like wokeism, politically correctness, like LGBT, all that stuff. They've been like doing kind of the same as we have in America. And their economy has fallen to shit. Their government is all like, there's the Department of Equity and Inclusion, all that bullshit
in
their government,
waste,
right? Yep. So meanwhile, so much money is being spent on that, and their inflation is like 3,000%. You know, it's like people can't afford anything in that country. It's fallen to shambles. And it used to be like the third richest in the world. It used to be a superpower, and it's fallen to shit. So over the last year, this libertarian guy, Javier Milei, he's just like, so he's libertarian, which is like anti-government or like, you know, it's like capitalism, not a lot of government influence and government control. He's been running for president in that country, and he's been running on the platform of like, we're going to get rid of woke. We're going to, he was like, my first day in office, I'm going to get rid of all the unnecessary departments in our government. And there's a video of him saying like, the Department of Gender Equality, get rid of it. The Department of Diversity and Inclusion, get rid of it.
Love it.
And so he was running on that stuff, and people were like calling him like the South American Trump. He's a far right extreme, like all this stuff. You know, they're just trying to paint him all by all that.
Did he win?
He won last week.
How great is that?
He became the president.
So there's a chance for Trump.
Oh, yeah. Trump said he was flying down to Argentina this week to meet with him and like congratulate him. But he won by like a landslide, which
people
and he literally won on anti-woke, anti-immigration, anti so all that stuff.
So
and he became
it.
The president. And he said, I'm going to keep my promise. As of today, all of our unnecessary government offices,
yep.
Gone. All those people will be fired. That will save us a lot of money, which will go back to all the taxpayers. So, which is very interesting. Also, 2 days before the election, he was like in the streets of Buenos Aires and was like joined a pro-Israel march and was flying an Israeli flag. He wore a kippah with everyone.
Wow,
so
like
that's another great
thing. That's a good
thing.
Maybe we'll move to Argentina.
Right, Argentina could be another good spot for that too. And now he's the president. But that's another, so the Netherlands chose an anti-immigration
Ireland.
Thing. Well, Ireland, no, their country, their government is pro-immigration, but the people are riding against that.
Right, but
and
that's
now Argentina,
you want. Yep.
Right? But when these people get into power, that's how real change can happen in a country, and you can turn
I'm
the
so
ship around.
Fucking over it, aren't you over this whole?
But
fucking,
there's a lot of hope with all that.
No,
like,
but aren't you fucking over the bullshit? The fucking, I mean, shouldn't it be? You want something, you fucking earn it. You know, I was watching it on the news, and they said Black Friday. $996 million spent on online shopping for Black Friday this year. Okay, that's $1 billion. Okay?
Yeah, but would that billion would probably be spent if the internet didn't...
Wait, let me just finish first. I just want to go tell you how people are. So, out of that, 60% was spent on Amazon, through Amazon. Now, they all said 54% of people that spent money on credit cards in 2022 for the holidays have not paid off that debt yet. Okay, that's a problem. That shows you... How that's what I mean. Think about it, Ronnie. If you bought stuff for the holidays a year ago and you even paid that off,
why would you be buying? I just don't understand the mentality. Why would you be buying more?
Why would you even buy if
you're like, I have to go into debt for this?
Okay, that's my point.
And then to be like, I'm still in debt. Oh, let me just buy new ones.
So you don't think these are the fucking retards that want the system? And I mean, and you're talking credit card bills are like these are 20-something% because they're allowed to under Florida law. That's not if you're in the finance business, that's not deemed usury. Okay. How fucking stupid are people? No, is that not dumb?
That's just the culture we live in now,
that's
I guess.
The culture we live in. That's the problem. We need to change that back to capitalism.
And they don't even care, those people.
They don't
They're probably
care.
Just like, I'm just going to keep the debt. Who cares?
Or file for bankruptcy. Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because what if you just keep the debt and just keep it going?
Paying
and just,
the minimum interest.
Right, just pay the minimum and
that's
just keep
they,
it going
that's
forever.
That's what they do.
Yeah. And they're just like, okay,
you're
yeah.
Never
I'll just
gonna,
keep buying new
never
ones.
Get out from under it.
I'll just keep buying new gifts, add up
and
to the
new
debt.
Credit cards I'll get that will give me credit. And I don't care if it's 25% interest. I don't give a fuck. I have no intention of paying it back anyway.
Right, exactly.
And you know who pays for it?
Who? What happens?
You and I. Let me say something.
If someone like, let's say that person who has credit card debt from last year, this year, and they just keep racking it up,
okay,
and then they die, what happens?
Okay,
do you have to do go after your kids, or just gets wiped away?
No, gets wiped away. Okay, if there's an estate, and the estate has money, they can go after the estate. But if there's no assets, shit out of luck, unless someone personally guaranteed it. Now, if they file for bankruptcy, a lot of times you can do that for every 7 years you can file for bankruptcy. What happens is the banks take the loss, but you know who it's passed on to? The consumers like you and I who have good credit. We end up paying. That's
why?
Because that's why rates are so high. So they're raising the rates to go ahead and so we can, because they're not going to take the loss altogether. So it goes to consumers, and the consumers who care about the credit and pay are like people like you and I.
Yeah, so us being the good guys get fucked.
Right. So when people don't pay their medical bills, whatever, guess what happens? The rates go, who pays it? good people like you and I, when the insurance take losses and because of the fucking payouts, guess who pay it? The good people like you and I, higher premiums. This is the fucking, they spread it further among the wealth and the people who care about their credit. So the same employers that go in and pay more, all the employees, they pay more in FICA, more in withholding, more in government taxes. They employ families. They end up paying it because it gets spread to the people who care and who can afford it. That's the problem. As a 40% tax bracket's not enough. You got to pay for their shit. It's like the losers.
But I don't blame those people. If I was, it's like a loophole. If I was poor.
But what about integrity, Bronson? But
that's the thing. There's the people who would like exercise a loophole don't have integrity. But also why, like if you were that person and you're like, I'm poor, but why would you need integrity? Like who cares?
But the point is it's not even, it's even more than integrity. It's don't you want a better life? Don't you want a better life for your children? Teach them, work hard. But no one cares about that. I know, but the thing is live within your means. This is what needs to be fucking done. That's so when you are 65 or 70, you have something to show for it.
But if there's no consequences,
well, there are consequences. They file for bankruptcy, their credit's bad. They want to buy something, they're going to have high interest rates or not get credit at all. So there are consequences. And then when you're older, you have no retirement, you have no savings.
Yeah.
So there
people don't think for the future.
I get it, but that's the problem. There are consequences for every action. And remember we talked about a bad act doesn't make you a bad person. It's if you keep making a bad act, don't learn from it, that makes you a bad person, right? So these people, it's so bad on every end because the banks want you to do this, right?
They want you to do it because they make if you're going to pay it back eventually.
No, they don't care because they'll take the 10 years or the 5 years of 20-something% interest, hoping you don't pay it back, and they still are ahead of the game. And then, that kind of interest.
And then they can collect on like some of your stuff.
No, but think about it, Bronson. If you just pay your minimum bills, okay, at 21% or 22% interest, the credit cards come and it's a 6 months. They made their money. What are interest rates? 4% really should be 3%, 4%. It's the bank's money anyway. It's our money. So all we're doing is our money that's in the bank that they're giving us 2% on that they're now charging 21% on if you don't pay it. So they made their money in 6 months.
Yeah. And then they're just collecting a little bit.
And if they write it off, they write it off. And then they sell that debt. So if someone owes 10 grand, after a year of collecting 21% interest, they made their money plenty. They sell that debt for like 2 grand to some other third party company that's going to buy it. So the banks make a killing, just like the insurance companies make a killing.
Yeah.
But they're so crooked because they make so much money. And then when you go to use them, they drop you like the insurance companies. But they know what they're doing. So my point, but we, crazy. the good people, good conscience, good, that work hard, the good consumer, the good credit, they're the ones that suffer because we're going to pay it.
Yeah. But there definitely are these like inklings of hope around the world. Yes. It's not just like in our country.
I love it.
It's around the world. So you never know. Like
I love it.
Hopefully Argentina is going to get turned around and like will become a good country again.
So then we'll move to Argentina
because it's been like decades of turmoil. But also the Javier Milei, the new president, he said he's going to get rid of their economy. His plan is to get rid of their dollar and put them on the U.S. dollar.
I heard about that.
Because their dollar is like gone to shit.
Keep me posted.
He plans to like revolutionize the banks.
Follow that more than I would, but I'm curious to know.
Yeah,
what happens with that?
And right when he got elected, all of the media was like trying to slander him and destroy him.
But you know,
they were calling him like Trump, and it's like, why? Because
when they do that,
it means you're onto something.
My point: at some point, you just have to say, "Fuck it." Just like the Israel thing. Remember, we talked about that. There's going to be negative backlash. There's going to be people. We saw how much anti-Semitism there is in anti-Israel. We see that. But at some point, you'd be like, I don't give a fuck if I know what I'm doing is right. I don't care what people think. I'm just fucking doing it.
Yeah.
Because you know you're going to get it either way and you can't please them. So I don't need to fucking please those people. So this Argentinian president, he'd be like, fuck it. Do what you think is right.
Oh, yeah. He just does.
I think it's great.
He doesn't even like care about how he looks. He just like does what he needs to do. He looks like a madman.
But isn't that
great? His hair is all unkempt.
But isn't that great?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, seriously.
And I mean, look, it worked. He won. He became the president. It was like when no one thought Trump could become president and then he actually won. But then that also is worrisome too, because it's like just how you can get the right person and be like, wow, I can't believe that person became president. They can really turn our country around. Well, you can get the wrong one who turns the country around to the bad side.
Like Biden.
But Biden is like the best case scenario for turning around to the bad. We could have someone who's blatantly there to be like, I am going to do bad things.
Okay.
Biden at least is like,
no, they're bad things. But I think that America, you might have, if there's someone that's that bad, you might have, you can have revolutionary war. I think that shit can happen now with social media and the medium.
Yeah, but half of the, like, half of the country voted, felt that way when Trump, but, when Trump became president, half the country was like, this is the worst thing that can happen. And we had a few riots, but we like didn't have, it wasn't like, and they, and they truly, like, half the country viewed Trump way worse than you view Biden.
Yeah, but Trump's great. Remember,
they were like screaming, crying in the streets. You're just like, wow, fuck Biden. Like, they were so.
Well, we're gonna, if we have the same kind of political office in the next 4 years after this election, we have major.
We could have, it could be way worse.
No,
it's, like, my worry,
it's gonna be worse.
My worry is that we get someone in who's just like, runs on a, like, you know, all these people in Europe are running on anti-immigration platforms. We can easily get someone who's just running on an anti-Jew platform, easily. So you're like, I don't want immigrants. We need to kick out all the Mexican and Haitians and all the Jews. They're the ones, you know, like, and then that could easily, how they're deporting Venezuelans. We could get someone easily who's like, we need to start deporting Jews.
Yeah, I get it. But then, listen, there'll be a fucking uprising.
No, because I think the majority of this country supports it. That's what I worry.
They'll be an uprising by me.
Well, sure. Yeah.
Fucking go out with a fucking.
And we'll go to Argentina, I guess.
More and more ammunition, bro.
Yeah.
I was just going to say something. I don't know. I lost my train of thought. No big deal. Oh, well.
Okay.
All right. Sorry.
That's all right. We can.
But keep me posted on that. But I am glad to hear. I am glad to hear that people are fucking taking a different position now. Got to stand up, people. Telling you. Got to fucking stand up.
This is follow advice. This is from Jessica.
What is that follow advice? I forgot that.
Joking. Are you joking?
Yeah, I am joking.
We did one last week.
I'm teasing. 2 weeks ago. Delayed.
This is, hello, I've been listening for watching for a few years now.
Thank you,
Jessica. I love the conversations between you two. I grew up without a father, so I really appreciate hearing a father's perspective and seeing the father-son dynamic. The issue I have is with having a best friend. I don't have anyone besides my husband who I fully trust and who I can be myself with. I'm 34 years old, married for 6 years, and I'm a mom of three. I feel fulfilled in many ways, but can't seem to lock down a deep, meaningful friendship. My best friend from high school turned out to be a sexual deviant. I had to cut him out of my life since I didn't want him around my kids. Whoa. My best friend from college.
Oh, so you're married, shouldn't have a guy as your best friend. Just saying.
True.
Just saying. Go ahead.
Especially when that's a sexual deviant.
But even
what does that even mean?
Even was, unless the person's gay, you shouldn't have a best friend.
I agree. Your, like, best friend is a guy.
Yeah, not the opposite. If they could be gay,
if your name
is okay.
Jessica, yes.
Right, go ahead. Right.
My best friend from college pulled away from me once I got pregnant. It turns out she didn't want kids at all, and I strongly wanted them.
That's weird.
Nowadays, I have a few mom friends that I see on occasion, but I have a hard time opening up and feeling comfortable like I did with my previous friends. Am I putting too much pressure on friendship? Should I just accept the surface level friends that I have? Every time a friendship dies or fizzles out, I feel like I was abandoned or something. So part of me is worried about having a best friend again. This could be more of a female problem, but I'm curious what you think. Thank you both for your advice and for getting me through the pandemic.
Okay. First of all, Jessica, thank you for the kind words. Thanks for being a loyal listener. We really, really, really appreciate it. Here's my thoughts on a couple of those, but I have a couple of thoughts on that issue. Number one, there is definitely a female component to it. I'm telling you right now.
For her being like, I want friends.
No, no, listen, because even moms always talk about, oh, I'm sad with this one or that one. And I think that women handle friendships very differently than men do. But I'm not here to discount what you're feeling, Jessica. So I do think that women need to understand that sometimes friends just come into your life for particular time periods, for whatever it is, and that is what it was. I think that when you give too much thought to it, okay, you're going to drive yourself crazy. Sometimes we have friends for a very long time. Sometimes those long friendships end. Sometimes we have friendships for short times. It just is part of the life cycle and who comes in and out of our life at what particular time and duration. That's the first thing I want to say. Would you agree with that, Bronny?
Yeah, that whole like thing that they teach you when you're a kid, the song.
What's that?
Make new friends and keep the old. Some are silver and the others gold. You know that one?
No, I don't know that song.
That's sorry. Like, they taught us all that when we were kids, but that's not what you're saying.
Okay, right. But so that's one.
Some thing. Are silver friends, some are gold friends. Right.
Secondly,
it is what it is.
Secondly, you have a husband, which is great, and you have three children, so you're going to be busy with that. So I think you need to, and hopefully you're close with your husband, so that will fulfill some of your things. I do think there are other ways you can make friends. Now, making friends is not an easy thing because most people, Okay, you can have friends that are like acquaintances, but to have a really best friend where you can feel like you can confide in them.
It's not easy.
And open up and tell them your dark secrets. I think that's very few and far between because I think most people are fucking yentas and don't keep their mouth shut. That's my own opinion.
Yentas, gosper.
Right. Two is women are tougher on that than guys. Guys are just dudes. They're easier. So
I think it's easier for guys to bond quickly than women.
Right. And then the other thing is I think that I don't know how old your kids are, but there are things you can do. Like you can have a book club. You can start a book club.
She said she has a few mom friends.
Right. So you can get together them. Let's say you could do a monthly event or every other week with them and do like a book club. You can go out with just the moms and there might be one or two that you get close with that you could talk to and then you build an independent friendship with. But I think
it takes a while. Like
it does take a while.
Like to expect, like if you're like, oh, I'm getting discouraged because it's hard to make friends. Like that's what it is. Like it is hard to make friends.
But I look, making friends is one thing. Making really good friends is a different
thing. That's what I mean.
Right. So, but it
doesn't. I don't mean like meeting someone that you like enjoy hanging out with. That's
Jessica,
different.
I think that if it was easy to make a best friend, it wouldn't be so special, I guess. Right. If everyone was your best friend. So I think that you could definitely go ahead and start doing things with those mothers that you could do like I said, a book club night or just going out for dinner or whatever. So you can definitely bond with them and find someone that has common interest in you. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. I think that's a good thing. And
I also think just like, don't put so much pressure on best friend, like just have your friends and then just see what happens. Like it sounds to me when I read this, that she's like, oh, I'm on the lookout for a best friend. It's like, that's not how it works.
No, I don't know if I agree with you on that. I take it differently, Bronson. I take it where she had people she thought were very, very close with that were her best friends and turned out to be something different. And she feels slighted by it and wishes she had a best friend. And I get that.
But that's you can't force thing. A best friend. That's but, what I'm saying. But, it just has
but,
to happen.
But I'll tell you, Jessica, and Bronson, he's only known us almost 27 years, right? You'll be 27?
28. I am 27.
You'll be 28.
Yeah.
Fuck, I'm old.
Isn't that crazy?
All right, so listen. So
I forget how old I am sometimes. Shit.
So, but my point is this. You've seen Mom and I have different friends in different stages of our life. And each one is excited and new, and we love our friends that we have. And some of these things just change, and it's a nice thing. I mean.
Yeah. I also think, like, how she said, like, I had a friend, but then when I had kids, she, like, stopped wanting to hang out with me or whatever. Like, I think it's also just remind yourself, like, keep in your mind, if someone doesn't want to hang out with you, then, like, that's great. Like, I feel like, especially women, a lot of times are, like, they want to, like, force a friendship. But I think, like, keep in mind, just remind yourself, if this person doesn't want to hang out with me, okay, no problem. Like, you don't want to be friends with someone who doesn't want to hang out with you anyways.
We are like that, Brian, but most people analyze what did
right,
I
but
do.
I'm telling her this.
I agree, but we are very matter of
like,
fact.
Like, you are who you are, Jessica. And so if someone is not about it, okay, they're
fuck
not
them,
about
they're
it.
Not
then,
your friend.
Then you don't want to hang out with them anyways. Like, it's the same mindset where, like, I never understood when people will break up and someone is, like, one partner is very adamant about the breakup and the other person is, like, trying to get them back and win them back. And I'm like, why do you want to be with someone that doesn't want to be with you?
I know, but you're talking from a robotic,
non-emotional
thing.
But that's a lot of times when people ask for advice, they're like, I need the tough love. I want the heart truth.
I get it, but you can understand. Everyone's
wired
differently.
Oh, of course I understand, but that's why I'm telling her.
You and I
just remind yourself this.
You're right, friend, but you and I don't give a shit about what most people think. Most people do.
I know, but that's why I'm reminding her.
Now,
and to say, just force yourself to think about that. Oh, I'm feeling a little down because, you know, Sally doesn't want to hang out with me. Oh, you know what? Why would I want to hang out with someone that doesn't want to hang out with me? Like, just tell yourself that and you'll feel better about it.
You hope. You hope they do. Because not everybody's black and white like that. But even Mom would say things like, oh, but so-and-so, you know, like my friend, the guy who used to live in London, who I'm not friends with anymore, was like,
yes.
She's like, oh, he's such a long time friend. I go, but I don't give a fuck because I don't like what they do or what they're about or how they are.
Like,
now.
I only have loyalty for people who deserve my loyalty.
No, but it's not even loyalty, meaning.
No, but there are certain people, like that's what mom is harking on loyalty. Like, you've known them for so long.
30 years, right.
So there's a loyalty aspect there. And it's like, yeah, but I agree. But, like, not if they don't deserve my loyalty.
Right.
There's value in my loyalty.
Right.
And if this person's a loser, why my loyalty is diminished.
I agree. So just because I know them 30 years, I mean, they're an old friend. I got to be
right,
friends
with them.
That's what
I'm saying.
Right. I'm agreeing.
Certain old friends that keep up the friendship or are still good people, there is a certain sense of loyalty because there's a, it's been such a long relationship.
Yes.
But loyalty can come and go. Like people can earn loyalty. People can lose it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think, to me, life is short. And if somebody is, acts in a certain way, not does something that was stupid.
Because people can make a mistake.
That's my point. But if they do, they live their life now this way, life is short for me. And I don't like it. I don't have to be friends with them.
But even people who make, like I was saying, like loyalty, it comes and goes. And like, even people who make a mistake, you can just be like, you can stop being friends with them. And then you can, like in a relationship, even in our relationship, like when I was 12 and I lied to you or whatever, you were like, you're going to have to earn my trust back. And then it was like, you know, you have to mend the relationship. You can do that with friendships too. You can be like, you know, I don't really like what they're up to right now. I'm not going to hang out with them as much. And then maybe if they change how they are, I've had plenty of friends who I'm very good friends with them. They go down, they're like doing stuff that, you know, I'm like, you know what? That's not kind of who I am. We're on two different paths. So we're not friends. And then a few years later, we're on similar paths again. Then we're friends again. That's normal.
I'm harder on right. I'm hard to with on the friend aspect because life is so short. If I don't like the person, I don't really want to be around them.
But that's what friendship is.
No, but I mean,
the second I don't like being around someone, they're not my friend anymore.
I don't have a lot of tolerance for wasting my time because time is so limited. And I mean, yeah, I get it, but. I think
I just don't put so much pressure on you. You have a husband and
right,
kids.
So you're very lucky.
Built in friends.
You're very lucky. You have a whole infrastructure of people that you care about and that care about you and always have your back.
She has a family that you like are built in friends.
That's the most important thing. But I do appreciate.
It is important to have other friends.
I do appreciate and understand what she's saying. And women handle, not sound sexist, women handle it differently. It's an emotional component where men are much more black and white. Like, all right, fine, move on to next. I think that you can get involved if you're Jewish and you're temping. If you're not Jewish, get involved in your church and your community. You can start having get together with the mothers of your kids' friends. You can do a book club. There's plenty of things you can do. You can get involved in charities that you might have people that have similar commonalities to you. If you'd like to run, there's organizations out there. You can find out what your interests are and join and try to get involved in that interest. And you'll find other people that have similar values to you. And like example,
it's like dating. Right. You just have to keep putting yourself out.
You're not going to hang out with someone who's single. You're married with kids. You're going to hang out with people who have kids. So you have commonality. So we hope we answered your question.
Yeah, it's definitely just like if you are in the market for friends, you want to make friends. You just got to keep putting yourself out there. And it's not, you're just going to keep doing it.
Because
you're not going to meet, you're not going to be like, oh, I'm going to go to one event and meet a best friend. Like that's not how it works.
No, but you got to have commonality. If you want to have someone as a best friend, they got to think like you and want similar things to you as well, like a relationship. So find out what interests you or the commonality and join those groups. All right.
Yeah, just don't put so much pressure on it.
I agree. Take care, everybody.
You're joking, right?
Well, I'm trying to be hopeful. I'm trying to be optimistic about that.
Well, I guess you're too young to be a little pessimistic like me.
The fucking things I see out there, people are stupid.